transfer. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Hope and Redeemer. We are all used to the spectacle of Christmas. Indeed, we have come to expect the spectacle of Christmas. We expect spectacle to be a part of Christmas, from the gaudy displays in shop windows to the rather ridiculous efforts some people make to outdo their neighbours and the Christmas decoration states. We expect spectacle, bright lights, tinsel, glittery things, something to catch our eye and draw our attention. But there's also another kind of spectacle which we have come to associate and indeed expect with Christmas, and in particular Christmas Day. And one of those is the idea of the Christmas pageant or play. Now, growing up, I expect most, if not all of us, participated in one way or another in a Christmas play. It's that time of year where we get out the bed sheets and the tea towels and we dress the kids up as shepherds and wise men and recreate the Christmas story. Don't worry, kids, I'm not going to do that to you today. And we recreate the Christmas story mostly for our own entertainment. It's one of those sort of highlight points that we look forward to in one way or another. The problem sometimes, however, is that in reducing Christmas to spectacle, we forget or overlook the deep realities that are embedded in the narrative. Now, most Christmas plays and pageants are a mishmash of working together of various different gospel narratives. And in today's reading from the Gospel according to Luke, we have one of the more famous, more well-known elements, the appearance of the angels to the shepherds. Now, for some folks, this is, again, one of those spectacle points, those bright points, where the angel appears and lights up the sky and talks to the shepherds. For others, it's a troubling hint of supernaturalism, which they would rather prefer wasn't in the story and didn't have to deal with, and are content to try and explain away by saying, you know, the shepherds perhaps saw an aurora or a fall of comets through the sky or something of that nature. But in both the spectacle and the way we sometimes try and explain away the narrative, we sometimes miss the point. Because I've talked to you before about shepherds and the reality of what it was like to be a shepherd in the ancient world. We can't have had this benign pastoral image of shepherding as a person, you know, sitting in a field watching sheep or goats graze. But in truth, being a shepherd, particularly in the ancient world, was difficult and it was dangerous. And it was also very lowly. Being a shepherd was to occupy a rather despised position in society, a very lowly, unregarded position. Notwithstanding the fact that in the ancient world, being mostly agrarian societies, that is, farming-based societies, shepherds were in fact very important, because if they didn't protect flocks from brigands and from wild animals, of which there were a plenty, crisis of the economy would plummet. Because Fox found the basic measure of wealth in the ancient world, in addition to land. So if you had lots of flocks, then you had lots of capital to trade and earn income, and you were a wealthy person. But to protect that wealth, you needed shepherds. And shepherds were among the poorest and most despised and most exploited parts of society. And we tend to overlook that when we look at or read stories about the angels appearing to the shepherds. We tend to overlook the significance of that, of the announcement of Christ's birth, first coming to these despised, lonely people. Yes, we make trite statements to that effect, and we assure ourselves and consequently of our social justice credentials when we do that. But the truth is, we often miss the point. Because for most of us, shepherds and the life they live are quaint antiquities. They're relics from the past. They refer to a reality of which none of us have any experience and to which very few of us can actually relate. And so instead we go for the spectacle bit. But in the last couple of years, the COVID pandemic has taught us, if it has taught us nothing else, it has surely taught us that our society is dependent upon the least and the lowest among us. Think about how we have gotten through the last 2 years. We have done it thanks to people who normally we don't even think about, who don't even occur on our radar. Think about all the Uber drivers, or the menu log drivers, or the Deliveroo drivers, and all those food service companies that so many of us have become reliant on over the course of the last couple of years, as lockdowns and restrictions have curtailed for many of us the capacity to do something as basic as grocery shopping or preparing meals. Think about the postal workers and the private delivery company workers who are on the pointy end of the boom in online trading, because they're the people who have to get our packages and goods delivered to us. A few months ago, I saw a documentary about couriers, delivery workers in Korea, who are so overworked, many of them are literally dropping dead from stress and overwork because of the boom in online shopping. And if we think it's any different in Australia, we're kidding ourselves. Think about all the retail workers in shopping centres and supermarkets who, over the course of the last couple of years, have not only had to continue turning up to work, but have had to do so in the context of exposure to a pandemic. And not just exposure to a pandemic, but exposure to abuse and aggression from the public, as these workers have often been responsible for enforcing health protocols, as well as stopping people brawling over toilet paper. Think about the aged care workers, many of whom are agency nurses,
So if we want to relate the gospel story from today into modernity, let us connect it to the lives of these people. The Christ, whose birth was announced first to the shepherds, to these lowly, to these outcasts, to these despised, is the birth that is announced today to the Uber drivers, to the retail workers, to the aged care nurses, and to all those segments of our society and economy that we think of as disposable and expendable. There's no spectacle in their lives. There's no bright lights, there's no glittery tinsel. For many of them, they will be working today. And for many of them, there may not be Christmas trees and Christmas presents. And yet, we dare to proclaim a gospel that says that for and to them especially is the gift of Christ coming among us all. And I think that that's a spectacle that's worth proclaiming. I think that's a spectacle that's worth getting excited about. I think that's a spectacle that is worth bringing to the world. So as we gather for worship, and as we gather for family, and as we gather for friends, let us remember today all those who are the shepherds of the world.